Oh, well, timer's not working. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and another beautiful morning. You've gotten us up out of our beds in our rooms and down here to be together with each other and with you, Lord. So we thank you for that, first of all. And we thank you for your blessings, God. And we thank you for your love, Lord, so much. In Jesus' name, amen. I get the fun part of coming and getting to talk about all the things that, not all the things, but a lot of the things that we've already done over this weekend, because it goes so fast, so fast. And one of the things, when we started Friday night, this is something kind of new and different. One of the things we did when we first were getting the party started was the girls came up and we had that prayer for the nation, that time that we prayed for our country. And that's, I really enjoyed that. I liked that because it's not something, we're supposed to be doing it all the time, praying for our nation and our leaders. And but I don't. I mean, I'll confess, I don't think about it all the time, but we should be doing it all the time. So I think it was really a good reminder, and especially, and not just because of the elections literally around the corner, not just because of that, but it was a good reminder, hey, this is election year, we got to pray. Wait, I should be doing this all the time. So I really enjoyed that. That was something different. That was another thing we all know and don't necessarily always remember to do. And Saturday morning's session with Cindy was really great. One of the things that she said was, as Christians, we're all lights. It just depends on how bright we're letting our light shine. And even the most simple thing, like she was talking about going to the store and being in line with a grumpy, you know, whomever. And you might be the grumpy whomever, but just not to be complaining and bickering and, you know, feeding into all the negativity. That could be an easy way to shine a light in your house and at the grocery store. You know, it's not always that difficult. I think sometimes we think it's harder than it is. But and the workshop was awesome. I was in Vanessa's workshop. And something that she said, and that, so it was persevering in prayer, basically around praying for your children and so forth. One of the things that she said in the workshop was how a lot of times we learn of some issue or some problem or some, oh, what if this is happening? And immediately we go to prayer, which is good, but we go there in fear. Oh, no, my kid is doing this, or I'm worried that whatever, let me go pray. And you call everybody, pray, which is okay, but going immediately into praying in fear isn't what we need to do. We need to go and pray in faith. Oh no, my kid is ... Lord, I am going to trust that you're taking care of this kid and you're going to show me what I need to do to help take care of your kid, because you love him more than I love him. And shouldn't be praying out of fear or reaction. Just remember the faith and how strong God is and how strong we are because of God in those prayers. We don't have to be like, oh, that was sweet to me. So many things. I just want to go on and on. And then, of course, Auntie Kathy. We'd still be here, I think, listening to Auntie Kathy, maybe. I don't know. Which would be okay with me. That would be awesome. A couple of things that she said, too. That she says that the lack of light, and, like, the lack of light affects our vision. So if there's less light, we can see fewer things in front of us. And that is oftentimes what makes us fearful. It's the whole big fear of the unknown, you know. Just because it's dark, we don't have to be afraid. You know, it's, she says, you flip on the light switch in your family room. It's exactly the way it was when you left it. You didn't have to be afraid because the light was out, but you feel better with the light on. So that was neat. The Amy Carmichael stories, love them. Esther, Joseph, and Daniel, just these people, these young people who are in situations that they didn't necessarily choose to be in, and they still managed to shine their lights. Again, I think we overcomplicate things. Not always, but a lot of things are complicated and messy and yucky, but sometimes it's just as easy as that. So, and last night's searchlight, again, that's something a little different, something a little new for us, having done it that way. And that was tough. That was a tough little while there, but Debbie did. It's just something that the Lord speaks through Debbie in many ways, and she said during that, she said, God loves us right where we are, but he loves us too much to leave us there. Because that was a tough heart-searching searchlight on the prisoners. I was like, that's what I feel like. God's got that searchlight on me. But he doesn't want to leave me there. He's searching around to find me, you know. Anyway, so I have been just unbelievably blessed so far. And then, again, like Debbie said, we're not even done yet. So that's even more fun. We still have more to come. So we're going to start into our communion time now. And, you know, we're sitting in this room and we've made it so luxuriously glamorous with the decorations and the jars and everything is just so pretty. But we're just in a meeting room. We're at a camp, for Pete's sake, in a meeting room. We're not anywhere special and significant when it comes to partaking in the Lord's Supper. But we know that the place isn't what's significant. It doesn't matter that we're here at a camp or we don't have to be a church on a Sunday on a certain day or we don't have to be anywhere special to be able to do this. And I really hope that all of us has had the opportunity to have communion in a weird and kooky place. I really, like, you know, maybe the kookiest place you've ever had communion is your kitchen, but your kitchen, if you've been on a camping trip, if you've been driving on vacation with your family or something like that, I hope that everybody's gotten to do that, because that really is a very special thing. And with my kids, those are the things that they remember when we got to have, you know, nacho cheese Doritos and Coke for our communion elements and, you know, or what. Those are the neat things, just to be able to do it. It doesn't matter where you're at. That's not what's important. It's not what you use to have communion that's so important. It is the condition of our heart. How is my heart when I'm partaking, wherever and whatever? How's my heart? You know, what am I doing? What am I remembering and honoring while I do this? Because when we think of the Lord's Supper, it's really kind of a simple, sort of odd ceremony. A little tiny bit of bread, a little tiny bit of liquid, representing the body and blood of Christ, which were both given for us on the cross. Jesus' death on the cross. That's the significant thing when we think of communion that we have to remember. The simple act of love and obedience to recall often that he died for us and that he rose again in victory over sin and death. Matthew's account of the night Jesus ate with his disciples before the cross is a simple account of it. I'm going to read those verses. It's Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 28. And it says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" So Scripture also tells us to do this. It is a command to do this. It tells us to do this and to do it regularly. In other words, keep on doing this so that we always are remembering what he's done for us. And so by doing this, it's not just reinforcing our own relationship with Christ and remembering what he did not just for us, but for me. But it reinforces and grows our relationship with one another, with our fellow Christians. It's like a whole thing that this whole family does the same. You know, everybody has their family traditions in your, you know, family of origin, family traditions that you all do the same. We all celebrate somebody's birthday with that person gets the big red plate that has something special on it, and that's what he gets that day. And this is something as a family, as a body, that we all do the same, that we do to grow our relationship with other Christians together, to keep that something to remember as well. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that we should eat this symbolic meal together in our churches, in our homes, wherever, until Jesus returns. So again, the place in which we celebrate communion and with what kind of elements we celebrate are not significant. The most significant thing the most significant part is the condition of our hearts when we celebrate. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 to 29 say, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread, drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself or herself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So before we ever eat of the bread or drink of the cup, each of us needs to ask ourselves, is there anything right now that is between me and God that I need to take care of? Is there anything that is causing my heart to be unclean? Take a few minutes, because I don't ever want to eat of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. And it's very easy not to do that. So it's one thing to remember, it's an important thing to remember before we partake, wherever we're partaking, with, you know, with whatever elements. If we don't, communion is just another empty, meaningless religious ritual. It doesn't mean what it was meant to be meant for. It doesn't mean what it means. So then when we approach communion, what kind of an attitude do we need to have? We're definitely remembering Jesus' crucifixion. Yes, that's like the most important thing. But we're also remembering to celebrate the wonderful joy of his resurrection, the victory that he provided over sin and death by doing that. We're from Albuquerque. I just met another Albuquerque friend this morning. And we have a restaurant that we like to go to. It's called The Frontier. And we go there, we've all, you know, like, we grew up there, so we've just always gone to that restaurant. But one of the reasons we love to go there even more so is because that's where my husband's dad, like, went every day to drink his coffee and read his paper, and he'd sit there for just probably hours. He knew everybody, and he passed away several years ago, and we actually went to the owner of the restaurant and said, "Well, Mr. Ranicek, I don't know how you're going to keep your lights on now without Simon around drinking coffee every day, all day." And we go to the Frontier as our families, and when we get together in Albuquerque, and it is to have their great and awesome food. But it's like we're having communion together. We're having coffee and hash browns for our elements. And we go to we remember Ernie's dad. We remember his dad there. And it's not just, oh, he's gone, he's not with us anymore, and we have this time together. But we're like, this is a happy place. This is a happy thing to do, to remember. And that's what communion should be for us, too. It's a happy thing. It's not, he died to do so much for us. As we come to the Lord's Supper today, a quick review, really, just what he's done for us. And this is very minimized. To celebrate his mercy and grace, his care for us, and that someday we're going to eat this feast that we're going to have, our elements now. Someday we're going to share that with him as a feast, face-to-face with him. And clearing our hearts of anything standing between he and us is so important, so that we can partake in a worthy manner. And if that something between you and God is your relationship or your lack of relationship with him, if you have not asked him into your heart, if you haven't just given your life to him, and I think that's a simple thing. We can take care of that too. We can do that. You don't have to have that between you and the Lord, and you will be able to partake in a perfectly worthy manner if that's something that is coming between you and God this morning. I had a friend a long time ago. Our kids were at the same elementary school, so we'd pass each other walking all the time and just befriended her, and we were, you know, talking. And I guess one of these days she's like, well, there's just something. And she is really she's a worrier and a just nervous Nelly kind. And she's like, you're just always, you know, happy or what? I don't know how she said it. And I was like, you know what? The only difference between you and me, and she was not saved. This was my big extravagant salvation message, my evangelistic tool. I said, you know, the only difference between you and me is that I wake up every day and I am forgiven. I know I'm forgiven and I can go on. And that's what she didn't get. And she didn't, you know, she's like, really? Because everything was just like a bondage and a weight. And she's got a backpack and people are putting bricks in it and rocks in it. And she's just carrying it. And it was just this, as simple as that. I know how much God loves me, and he's forgiven me for everything. And he does every single day. So don't let that be something that stands between you and God right now before we have communion. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let him free you and forgive you of all your sins, your past, your present sins, future sins. That's what he did for all of us, so that we could all know how much he loves us, so I could know, so each person in here individually can know that. So if the ladies want to start to pass out the elements, And Lydia's going to come and give us a worship song. And if I start singing in this microphone, somebody remind me to not.
Resurrection.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For I received from the Lord, which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So shall we have the bread? And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do often, he says, "as you drink it, remember this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Shall we have the cup? Verse 26 says, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And amen for that. Lord, we just thank you for this time again. We thank you, Lord, and look so forward to your coming, God, to when we can do this with you. And for now, I just thank you that we can do it as sisters together, as one body. We can proclaim your death and your resurrection, Lord, and praise you for that, and remember all that you've done for us, as much as our simple minds can be wrapped around that, Lord, remembering the great sacrifice that you made so that we could sit in this room together today as a body, as one, and partake in these elements together in your honor and your glory, Lord. So we thank you so much, and we praise you, and we love you, and we pray that all the honor and glory goes to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.